centuries, mankind has been fascinated with realms outside of our conscious awareness. Through a series of interviews with practitioners, guest speakers, and experts, Liberate the podcast covers all that and more, from health and holistic healing to the supernatural. We aim to educate, motivate, inspire, and liberate your consciousness. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Liberate the Podcast. Today we have another special guest with us. We have one of our own, Janelle, from Liberate Emporium. She's definitely one of those people that just lights up a room, and we're going to be talking about how she taps into the energy of crystals and all of the different facets and healing properties of crystals. Now, Janelle, as I mentioned, lights up a room when she comes in. She emanates that positive energy. She also does a lot of different other types of healing, Akashic record readings, among other things. And, you know, let's introduce Janelle. Janelle, if you want to say hi.
Hi.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I've been working with crystals for the last few years, and I've been also working as an Akashic Record practitioner since January, so it's been going really well so far, and I'm looking forward to more.
All right, awesome. Like, tell me a little bit about what drove you down the crystal path.
It was interesting. It's not like a fun story, but I did ayahuasca for the first time, and when I came out of it, I needed some like real energy healing, and I met this girl who does energy clearings, and she put this crystal in my hand, and I guess my energy had just opened up from that experience, and everything shifted for me. Like I wasn't holding a rock or something that looked pretty. I was holding something that was actually very much alive, and just radiated this energy that I'd never felt before. It was an energy of like protection and clearing, and just so many things started connecting for me, and I was like, wow, this is amazing. So that was the first crystal experience for me, and from there I just I actually went into a store and just started picking stones up one by one to see that, and I could feel their energy and connect with them. So that's where it started.
Interesting. But, so for those that are listening, it was really like a one day no awareness to having this awareness and sensitivity. Because I think that's a lot of times people will come in and they'll feel, they'll come in or they have questions about crystals and they'll say, I'm not sure if I feel it yet, or these different things. Yeah. Like it can literally happen. And, you know, just a moment
guess the thing is, I feel like people come in, and I watch this a lot with my clients, like they think about feeling it, and that's why they're not feeling it. They're almost processing it, like, am I feeling this? And for me, it was a feeling first. I didn't put anything on it when she handed it to me. I just allowed it to kind of come through, and I was just, I guess, very receptive to it. So it's interesting.
Interesting. I often say, you know, the sensitivity to energy in any facet, whether that is energy of feeling like energy healing, or feeling the awareness of crystals, or feeling people or environments or different things like that, is kind of in the analogy, and I know it's funny to say this, but the analogy of somebody's palate getting more accustomed to wine over a period of time. It's like at first, you know, maybe they want to taste the differences and describe the tannins or the different things, but you know, it's just red wine or white wine. But after a little bit of time, and they just drink it, they start to realize that this one tastes slightly different than this one, and this one has that.
Absolutely,
you know. But
it's the same thing with energy. Absolutely. Yeah.
Awesome. So you have this awareness where, you know, and for those that don't know what ayahuasca is, you want to just like tap in a little bit.
I mean, I don't feel like I still know what it is, but it was a really crazy experience.
So pretty much for those that look it up for it, then know it's a root that's like boiled down, and it can be smoked, it can be boiled or whatnot, but it's it has these healing properties. It is a psychedelic, but it's not one of those ones that people do to have a fun trip. It's very much a spiritual journey.
It's not fun. It's definitely not fun. It's not recreational at all.
And, you know, a lot of times it does have this ability and this effect to wake people up. Mm-hmm. And there's also this, you know, can have the opposite mm-hmm. effect where it can really cause havoc in one's life, sure. too. So you have to be ready. So not everybody run out and, you know, go and try ayahuasca because you want to wake up. I want to, you know, preference
what that. What it does is it brings up what you need to heal. And so whether you like it or not, there could be things you're totally not aware of. And in my case, that's what it was. There was a lot of things that I didn't realize were in my closet, I guess, from, like, whatever past lives. And so
we are not saying to go out and run and do
please,
it. Make sure you're ready.
Don't do your research. And
so talk to me a little bit more mm-hmm. and talk to everybody about let's dive into, as you started going down that crystal path of noticing and feeling the energy, I think, you know, the interesting thing is, like, when you pick up one of those books, like the Crystal Encyclopedia by Judy Hall or the Crystal Bible or different things like that, a lot of times you're like, where do people get this stuff from?
Right,
you know? But, you know, Janelle, you feel it. You could actually write one of those books.
I've actually never read those books, which, like, I've definitely, like, flipped through them, but it's almost like, it's like me just checking in with what I already know. I was like, just making sure this, okay, great, this works with that chakra. But yeah, I mean, it's good to research the crystals. It's good to have all of that knowledge. But the most important, I think, is feeling it first, mm-hmm. really resonating with its energy first. What is that stone telling you? How does it work with you? and coming to those conditions on your own with it, and then going in and doing the research and seeing how you can pull out maybe more, like if there's something you're missing. So
okay, yeah, because not every crystal or every stone is good for everybody.
That's true. Yeah, and I've actually, it's interesting, I've been drawn to stones that weren't ready for me. Like I would almost, like, I would pick it up and I'm like, I really want this, but it was like, no, I'm not I'm not compatible right now, come back later. So yeah, it's all about energy, basically. So whatever frequency you're at is what you're going to attract with the stones. And the stones know what it is that you need. So, and there are stones that I've, you know, like the ones that I used in the very beginning, I became very attached to. They're like my friends, you know, the way that I felt when I used them, how safe I felt. But then there was a time where they didn't want to work with me. They would, and then this sounds funny, but like stones do find a way of like escaping. So they would literally escape my presence because they wanted a break.
How does that show up?
I call them jumpers. Like, you know, I'll be like sleeping with a stone and I'll wake up and it's literally gone. Like I cannot find it anywhere. And there's no explanation for it. And then, you know, like a week later, I'll find it in some random place. So I just feel like there's something living about that as well, about that energy, that they'll find a way to, you know, not work with you and then come back when you're ready for them again. So I guess what I'm saying is sort of people not having, forming an attachment to them and just knowing when you've graduated, because that is what happens. Like you do graduate to other stones and then maybe you'll work your way back to the one.
Yeah, and think about that with a lot of things. You know, sometimes you outgrow a certain teacher, mm-hmm. right? Not everybody stays in third grade forever.
Right.
You know, you graduate to fourth grade,
yeah,
then fifth grade,
yeah.
and so on. That if you kind of look at stones as educational tools mm-hmm. for your energy body, you know, they're sometimes you stay with them for a while, and sometimes they're in and out of your life in a very short period of time.
And the great thing about that is that's what they've taught me, is how we're always shifting and changing. And, you know, it's like when you meet someone and you get stuck on them, like, oh, I want to, like, hang out with this person all the time. It's like you can't really have a codependency with people just like you can't with stones. Like you have to know when you're changing. So they're really teaching me that and showing me what level I'm at, as far as like my spiritual ascension as well. Like there's some stones that are, I was using that were not beginner stones. They were like, and I didn't know this. They were wanting to work with me and I felt them very powerfully. And then I would do research on them. And this is like, you know, one of the more older, like powerful stones. And I'm like, wow, you know, I must be, it just taught me to respect my energy and like where I actually am in my spiritual journey.
Nice.
What I'm able to work with, what I'm able to open up, and it's been amazing.
And what are some of those stones? Just so, you know, people
listening,
they're like, okay, it's an older, wiser stone.
Yeah.
What is
well,
it called?
Numite is a stone, and I actually recommend that stone for, I'm an empath, so I'm someone that feels energy on a very deep level from other people, but I also have the tendency to pick up energy from other people. So Numite is a stone that's, it's about 3.5 3.8 or 3.5 billion years old. So it's one of the, I think it's the oldest stone, according to what I know. And it's very grounding, but it also like puts up a block around you, a shield, so it's very protective. But it can also throw you into the dark night of the soul. So it gets you to work. It's called the Sorcerer's Stone. So it's very powerful. When you start opening up to what it can do and where it takes you, you have to be ready for it. So it's definitely not like a beginner stone.
Absolutely.
But I don't know. I feel like I just
let's go and start, you know, let's look at the crystals and the healing things, and maybe we can go over a couple different things that maybe people are working on in their life in like a general sense. I mean,
sure.
As Janelle's saying, it's, you know, there's the stones really have to speak to you, and sometimes, you know, what we're saying might not be right for everybody, but in a general, like, sense, if there are people that are just starting to become aware of stones, maybe starting a spiritual journey, would there be, like, maybe three or four that you would really recommend working with?
Yeah, there are stones that I call, like, staples, the ones that I think sort of work on a very basic level for everyone. There's actually a lot of them, but I'll start with the few. Amethyst being one of them. I think that's a very universal protective stone. It's great for calming nerves, anxieties, things like that. And I feel like since so much of our society suffers with that, that level of energy does resonate for people. Rose quartz is a very, very gentle stone, but a very high vibrating stone for unconditional love. So I find it to be one of the easier stones to work with for the heart chakra because it is such a sensitive chakra. And there are other stones that can overactivate it and make people really sensitive to it or pull out too much. So I suggest rose quartz as like a gentle sort of introduction to that. And then, let's see, what are some of the other ones? Basic grounding protection stones, I would say black tourmaline and smoky quartz are the easiest to work with. I would stay away from black obsidian. It's a working stone, so it's the kind of stone that will pull out things that are underneath, so if you're not ready to do the work on yourself, I wouldn't pick that up. So black tourmaline, it pulls out negative energy, but it adds positive energy back. So I find it to be grounding and really soothing, you know, for people who need that.
Okay, and how would somebody work with stones? You know, I think that that's one of the questions.
Yeah. I mean,
you know,
it's like, different for
do they
everyone.
Hold them? Do they meditate with them? Do they sleep with them?
I mean,
what do they do?
All of the above. I mean, I think you do whatever you need to communicate with it. I notice some people come in and they'll pick the stone up and they don't feel it in the store, but they'll probably feel it at home if they sat and meditated with it. So it's just a matter of how open your energy field is and how receptive you are to the stone, what it is that you're asking of it. I mean, I just suggest, I mean, first of all, you always have to hold it in your left hand if you want to receive its energy. So that's a common thing. People come in, they're not aware of that, that our left side is our receiving side. Mm-hmm. So you start by being drawn to what it is, like being drawn to the stone. The stone kind of chooses you, I always feel like. You don't just like pick it. It literally, like, you'll walk to something and it's a dual selection. Basically, like, the person's like, I don't know why, but this is calling me, you know, and that's for a very specific reason. They probably felt the energy from across the store.
And it's sometimes not what they see even too. If they go to a bowl of black tourmaline, it might not be the first piece they pick up. It might be one of those other ones, you know, like,
exactly.
And this one might be prettier to them aesthetically, or this one might be whatever, and they want it to be that one, but they have to go with,
you know, what feels right. So that's the key. Yeah, you follow your instincts, follow your intuition. Only you know what feels right for you, and then hold it and see what resonates with you. And then, you can go home and actually meditating with it is the best way to really unlock it. And I suggest using only one stone at a time so you can really feel the properties of that one stone. Because I actually was crazy. When I started doing this, I was having so much fun and feeling so much. And just, you know, I would have like 10 stones with me and it was a lot. And it was like, they were like, can we just do this one at a time? So I don't suggest doing that. Definitely one thing at a time so you can really communicate with it. And then once you've become aware of its energy and you connect with it, that will never leave. You'll always have that like relationship with it. So you can put it down and come back to it, and you'll always know sort of what level that stone resonates at for you.
Okay. And what do you think, in your words, would be what's happening to your physical and energetic body when you're working with a stone?
It's interesting. I mean, that's amazing. It's an amazing question because the stones work on spiritual physical and emotional. So they work on all three levels. So, for instance, Numite, the stone that I was talking about, I was having a lot of energy blockages, and that's a stone that clears blocked energy for you, but you have to work with it by asking it to remove things that you can't remove yourself. So I sat in a meditation and I said, you know, please take from me the things that I'm having a hard time releasing. And I just sat there in sort of a really meditative state, and I promise you, I felt this, like, it was almost like someone took a mop and was just like pulling things out of me. Like, I could feel these things leaving, and I was like, wow. I sat up just going absolutely crazy that these stones can actually heal physical blockages as well. It's not just like a feeling, it's actually, they work on behalf of you.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was really intense.
Okay, so you can literally ask them to do things and they remove these
Absolutely.
Blocks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what about if somebody's just, like, carrying a stone with them? Let's say that they're carrying rose quartz mm-hmm. with them. Like, what do you think is, you know, in your perspective, happening to, you know, those three levels of them, their spiritual, physical, and energetic selves?
You mean just walking with
around?
Yeah,
like you know, so if somebody's holding that,
yeah.
You know, you said, talked about how it gives and it has this mm-hmm. vibration of unconditional love. I mean, is it opening their heart chakra? Is it like radiating through some of their energetic?
Yeah, absolutely. When you keep crystals on in your auric fields throughout the day, which I do a lot too, they do work with you throughout the day. I do think that the deepest work comes from being in a meditative state with them. I don't really think walking around holding it will actually do anything physical, but I think that it is like either working with keeping your heart open for the day or protecting it, putting up a shield around you for the day for your energy, you know, things like that. So their most basic properties are at work when you're using them.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what about when you sleep with them?
That's interesting too, because they are working with you as you sleep, but I find setting an intention with them, because
okay.
everything shuts down when you're sleeping. So if you want to really work with them during your sleep, I suggest setting an intention, putting them under your pillow. And they actually do help with, like, I was having some crazy dreams and things like that. Everything was sort of opening up for me, so I needed to sort of ground that and shut off that channel. And so I put stones under my pillow and asked that they help sort of like guide me through the night safely, and they worked. Yeah, I mean, I felt more peaceful and
yeah, that's an interesting thing. You know, in my studies and learning, you know, the stones have consciousness.
Yeah,
and
they
so
do,
when you instruct their consciousness
yes.
to work with what, especially with what they're good with. You know, and clear quartz is a good example of that, because
mm-hmm.
it can mimic any energy of
mm-hmm.
any crystal.
Mm-hmm.
So you say, you know, I instruct you to, you know, continue to clear out
mm-hmm.
the blockages in my heart chakra
yeah.
for work, you know, until
right.
I tell you to stop or whatever the case may be, and it will actually go to work.
Absolutely.
And I think that might be why in a meditative state you're concentrating and you're focusing on what it is your intention
yeah.
might be.
Absolutely.
And commanding that.
That's an interesting choice of words too, instructing, because that's exactly what you're doing with that. It is just a rock until you open it up, essentially. It is just a thing that's been laid into the earth, you know, until you ask it to help you. So
yeah.
once you find that piece that resonates with you, it's like then you have the key. You can just unlock the potential of all of it within yourself and within the stone. So it's very much a collaborative effort.
Yeah, I'm thinking giving like modern day examples of, you know, how that works. It's like if you think about, you know, you might have apps on your phone or programs
mm-hmm.
on your computer. They're just sitting there idle until
yeah.
you go in there and you utilize them.
Right.
And so, I mean, for people, like, if you think about it that way, it is just what it is until you know how to utilize it.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And so, tapping in and realizing the power only exists when you allow yourself to really, you know,
right.
dive in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Otherwise, it just sits there.
Yeah, it's true. And I've gone to, you know, once I started working with crystals, I would go to like a friend's house and I would see, they're like, oh, I have crystals. But they're in the corner like collecting dust and they're just like, they're dead. Like, I'm like, they're not feeling anything. They're not working for you anymore. But you can bring them back to life. That's the thing. You have to just remember. It's a plant, essentially, that you have to water. It's something that needs to be cleansed, recharged, paid attention to. I mean, it is a living being. So if it's dormant and sitting in a corner, it is going to, like, lose its power for the moment. And then that sort of gets us into, I guess, charging them.
Yeah.
So the stones really work with the cycles of the moon. So and obviously them being from the earth. So there's different ways to charge them. You can do it with intention. So you have to be really strong with your intentions, or with the cycles of the moon. So the full moon is when you cleanse them and recharge them, and the new moon you can set new intentions on how you want to work with them. So you can lay them outside in plain moonlight for 24 hours. You can also lay them on what they call a selenite wand. Selenite's a beautiful crystal. It's self-cleaning. It charges everything, so you can do that as well. And then also you can clean them and charge them by putting them in the earth, but I don't like to do that, like putting them in soil, because it's just a messy process. But mm-hmm. that's also an option, so the earth can absorb any old energy that it doesn't need anymore. So yeah, it's kind of a fun process too, you know. I mean, I go through this process every moon cycle. I'm always putting out my crystals and charging them and cleaning them. You use whatever, you know, herb resonates with you, but there's sweet grass, Palo Santo, sage, so whichever one you find is the best for you. There's different ways to clean them with that. But keeping them, you know, it's just like how you would a human or an animal. Like, you're really respecting that these are living beings that are working for you for your highest good, and how would you care for them? And they actually do require that of you in order to work. They won't just be on.
Well, it's like anything, you know. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, the failure to thrive syndrome in human beings, you know, where they did that study back in the 70s, and they found that when they neglected the babies and they were just fed by machines and things like that, that they started to get really sick ailments and die, because you need the human contact. You need to not neglect.
Absolutely.
But going back on that cleansing element, you know, and this is if you look at how you can cleanse your crystals, that's the same way you can cleanse yourself and recharge yourself. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, think about it in a very simple form is the purification by all four elements. Purification by water, purification by wind, purification by fire, and purification by earth. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think that's... you know, and I would agree. I love the moon energy, because, you know, if you put your crystals out in the sun, they can bleed all that beautiful color. I mean, it's not going to hurt the energy of the crystal, but, you know, if you have this beautiful citrine or amethyst, all of a sudden it becomes kind of see-through and clear. Right. So, you know, that's one of the things.
And there are different stones that don't like different processes. So you have to really, that's why I say to research, because that's where the research really comes in. People that have done this work before, I discovered crystals, they really know what they're talking about, because there are stones that cannot be put in water to clean, because they're made of water, so they'll disintegrate. Or stones that, like you said, don't like sunlight, like citrine and amethyst, because they lose their color and they probably lose a little bit of their they just don't resonate with that frequency. And then there's stones that you can't put in salt and things like that. So it goes on and on. So just really kind of, I actually have, I categorize my stones based on, there's so many different categories. And it gets a little crazy. I'm like, do I go by chakra or do I go by cleansing method? I don't know. but you have to, like, if you start developing a collection, it's important that you respect the needs and cares of each one. So, you know, how they like to be treated, basically. Just like people. I mean, honestly, it is kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
You know?
And they're all unique and
they
divine.
Are. Mm-hmm. They all have different personalities.
So you have cleansing them, activating them, you know, allowing yourself to pick the ones that are the best for you at those period of times, and also that important note that don't get too attached to them, because there's going to be a process of when you move beyond certain ones and into something different, and then there might be a process where you go back to it.
Absolutely,
right?
Yep, that's definitely true.
So what about, you know, we talked about some beginner stones, but let's look at maybe, you know, what would you say the three biggest categories of people seeking stones would be? You know, like protection, love, like what
I would say definitely protection. That comes up a lot because we as we shift our consciousness and energy, a lot of people are becoming more and more sensitive, and with all the energy work people are doing, we're opening ourselves up more. So I find I'm constantly, I don't know if it's just me pulling people in with my empathy, but I feel like I'm seeing a lot of empathic people that need this kind of help, especially children too, needing this shield of protection. We're very sensitive to energy. The other one would be anxiety, and that is a major thing. I think it's a major problem, you know, obviously with everybody, but we all suffer this. But there's a lot of stones that really help kind of ground those worries and energy. So I'm finding that there's a lot to that too. I think the other one would be probably, sorry, I'm going through. Emotional. Yeah, just people that have like emotional attachments, grief. Those are things that come up a lot too. They just cannot let go of something. So in that case, I give them Lapita Light or Apache Tears, which really helps with that. And those are really gentle with working with those types of energy. So I would say the top three would be those.
Okay, so you have Apache Tears and Lepidolite for grief. What about, what are your top two stones for protection and for anxiety?
Protection, depending, and this is interesting, because this is where it gets very layered, is depending on that person's energy. So the pyrite is probably one that's multi-purpose, that could be used for most people, and no matter how sensitive they are. But then black obsidian is also great for protection, but that's usually for people who are more spiritually advanced or deal with greater amounts of darkness, like they've from past lives or whatever. And that's a very deep stone, but that's a very protective stone too. Smoky quartz is probably the most gentle out of all of them. So I would say I give that to people who are really, really at the base, like beginning level, where they'll feel comfortable using that. Because you don't want to really inflict any harsh energy on anyone. So sometimes the stones, if they're very, really powerful, you know, it can make someone uncomfortable if they're just not used to working with that energy. So that's the thing, is finding protection but making it work with, like for me, I need Numite, which is, but it has all these other properties that might not work for someone else because they're not at that level yet. So it's hard to say or to label that, but I think that those are the top ones.
Okay. And what about for anxiety?
Anxiety, pink mangano calcite is like maybe the best stone I've ever. I have it in my hand right now. I'm like crazy. I don't let it go. It's like a warm pink blanket wrapped around you all day long. And this stone doesn't want to leave me. I keep working with it every day. So obviously I have stuff to work on, but
mangano calcite, I like that. Yeah, you know, and it's also good for your heart, which I think anxiety, that's where it's not trusting yourself and worrying about the future or stressing about the past. And so you're in that constant state of lack of trust or concern that it has to be a certain way. And so I think that that's beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely. And so many people do feel that. We're always worried about what's next. So if you do suffer that immensely throughout the day, I suggest pink mangano calcite to help ground it and keep your heart clear and your mind clear.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So in you know, kind of wrapping up a little bit on everything about crystals and working with their beautiful energies, is there anything that we still haven't kind of talked about yet that you think that is an important note to add?
Interesting. There's so many things.
We can always have an advanced
crystal. I think because I jumped in so fast, I'm like, you know, beginner advanced, I sometimes blur the lines, so I don't want to say too much. But no, I mean, just really respect that these are living beings, and you'd be surprised what you would find when you really try to open yourself up and try to understand them. It's like they're not. I just wish for everyone that you would come in, if you come into a shop or you're drawn to a crystal, that you don't just see it as a rock, that you actually believe that there's more inside of there, just like how there's more inside of all of us. So there's a lot of potential for growth.
So beautiful. Yeah. So well said.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
For joining us today
and
sharing your beautiful knowledge with everybody. And, you know, if anybody ever wants to know a little bit more, of course, you can always contact us at the shop and get a hold of Janelle that way. She's always available for sessions. And, you know, and we'll probably, as we just talked about, maybe have her on for a little bit more advanced, since this one kind of got into the beginning levels. But let's talk, you know, next time maybe talking about, you know, some of those more advanced, really intense stones that people want to work with to get through a lot of their dark nights of the soul or to clear that out. Well, thank you again, and thank you for joining us on Liberate the Podcast. Tune in next week for another amazing guest.